October 4th, 1985. Reality is Your Creation with Lil Van Voris. 85. Reality is Your Creation with Lil Van Voris. So if you just find a comfortable position and having your spine fairly straight, begin to relax into your bodies. Take a few deep breaths to help you relax. And now begin to sense or imagine a column of white light starting about 18 inches over your head. And imagine that light flowing into the center of your crown through the crown chakra. And like a waterfall, just gently and easily flowing down your spine. Allow that light to move through you without resistance and without pushing it. When it reaches your hips, it will branch and flow evenly and gently down each leg. And then allow the bottoms of your feet to be open, and the light will gently move through your feet chakras and flow into the center of Mother Earth. Just be in this energy for a few moments now. Now allow your attention to focus on your heart center. And begin to allow your energy to center in your heart. And when you are ready, gently open your eyes. How did everybody do this last week? I don't know about you, but for me it's been a very full, kind of intense week, and it has for some people that I know also. So, did you work with the grounding technique and using the shield and things like that? And what about, did any of you try taking a day or even an hour out of a day and trying to stay in a non-judgmental space for that length of time? How did it work, Jenny?
I flew it a couple times.
Uh-huh.
I worked on it. I tried to do it all week.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
You really went for it. Okay.
Yeah, I thought I did pretty good. But I caught myself a few times.
So the more you work with that, you just kind of become aware of how
you... Yeah, well, and I told my husband what I was doing, too, so he was quite aware, and he pointed out if I...
Oh, okay.
He was a great helper.
All right. Did anybody else try that this week or work with that at all?
Yeah, I tried it. Also, for the same thing, I tried to do it all week, and I realized how much energy I spend making judgments.
Mm-hmm.
Absolute waste of mental energy.
It's amazing,
ridiculous.
Isn't it?
Yeah. And just trying it made me aware of how much time I was wasting doing that. So that, yeah.
It's such
I'm
a habit
or not. Yeah, right.
For most of us,
yeah,
that you just aren't even conscious of it.
Before I actually stopped doing it. I think just being aware of it for a while is going to... That have to be my goal.
Right.
I mean,
that's something
that time.
Haven't we all? Yeah, that's something that we'll work on all of our lives, really. It's not something that you just get. But you become more aware, more conscious of it, catch it more quickly.
It gives you so much extra things to do with your, with whatever it is you're doing with that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of the time I find it when I'm doing it, I'm like, often some ruminating space. You're just mumbling around and mumbling around, and you know whatever I'm doing is lost and not being done properly and taking more time than is necessary.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I appreciate you sharing that. Anybody else have anything? Anything that you'd like to share from the week with the class at all?
I wanted to share that my foot is better Saturday.
Wonderful. Oh, good.
I sprained it Friday night, and Saturday it felt a little twinge, but by the afternoon it was fine. I think it takes about usually 3 days for those things to heal.
That's great. I was going to share with you that my daughter's foot is completely healed, too. And it was supposed to take like 3 weeks. It only took two. And she's able to play soccer and do ballet and all her stuff. Thank goodness for her. She's real glad. She's so active. She doesn't like to be stopped for anything. And I also thought, since we talked about last week that you and the Creator are one, we talked about creating your own reality on every level, physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual, I wanted to share with you something very special in the way of feedback that I've gotten from a man that I did a reading for this summer. I don't know this person at all. He was involved in a car accident. It was extremely serious, and he was in a coma. And he's been that way since April. And I did a reading for him through a friend and who was very concerned about him. And this week, the young man's mother called me and told me that he now has bodily sensations happening. He recognizes people. He's able to go yes or no with his fingers. And when his mother was trying to put his socks on his feet, they had him in a wheelchair, she couldn't hold his feet up. You know, they're just so heavy, and so she dropped them. And she said verbally, "I just can't do it. It's too heavy." And he lifted his feet up and held them there until she put the socks on. This is a young man who was incredibly physically active, a gymnast, and he teaches gymnastics. And the doctor said the case is hopeless. You might as well give up. You know, he's a vegetable. He has almost no brain activity. And that's when I did the reading. And what I got was that he's really out of his body, gaining much information, because he was really obsessed with his physical, just that. He hadn't gotten into the emotional, the mental, or the spiritual in particular at all. And here he is this many months later, and he is having recovery in there. He's now making speech sounds also in his throat. So I just had to share that with you just to let you know that when you do send loving energy to someone, either by laying on of hands or on the mental level, whatever it might be, they do receive that energy, and they use it for their highest good, whatever that might be. His highest good might have been that he totally left his body and the body would have died. But I just had to share that with you because I got so excited about it, and it's real special to me when I get that kind of feedback on somebody that I've been working on for such a long time. So I wanted to share that.
So yes. You would keep uppermost in your mind when you're sending the energy, loving energy, that it's for their highest good.
Right.
Not for something that you want. That you want to
exactly.
Keep
exactly. It's always for their highest good, and for the good of their spiritual growth at that moment in time, whatever that might be for them. And we can't have the knowing of that, and the family can't either, but by holding them in your love or keeping that heart energy flowing to them, they have the ability to draw on more. There's more of a loving, supportive energy than being surrounded by negativity, you know, or doubt or a lot of strong emotion, that sort of thing. So it really is something that you can do on a higher level when you feel like you can't do anything. It really is something you can do on another level. So anyway.
What's a reading?
What's a reading? Mm-hmm. Well, it's a way of tapping in. It's a way that I tap in with my guidance and my higher self for the person's highest good at the moment, and information will be given to me to pass on, either about what's happening or what they could do or what's happened in the past. That's just really in a nutshell. It's another way of using your creativity.
Okay.
Yeah, Jimmy. Yeah. All right.
I asked for help with healing my hands. Actually.
Yes.
And they're healed. All
right.
I've had eczema for 13 months.
Oh, all right. Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, Jimmy, thank you for sharing that. That just is an example to you of the power that's in a loving energy, especially in a group. There is practically nothing that you can't do. I've been in groups where I've seen people's fingers get straightened that had been crippled and things like that. It really, It's just tapping into that higher level of yourself and letting that loving energy flow through you for whoever is needing it at the time. And we all have that ability. We all have that natural healing wisdom within us. Next week, that's one of the concepts that we'll talk about, is you are your own healer. And talking about the creative force of God or the Creator, the loving universe, exists within all of us. It's not without. And it's not within just a few people. It's really within all of us. So we'll focus on that concept next week. But that's really wonderful, Jimmy.
Yay.
You should be. Okay, so let's see. We did sharing and stuff. Okay, well, the first concept that I want to share with you tonight for this class is that you are more than your thoughts and emotions. You might just think about that for a moment. You're more than your thoughts and emotions. And the first thing I can say about that is to consider that if you never had another thought or another emotion or another feeling, you would still continue to exist because you are more than that. I think I've talked briefly in the past weeks about the fact that everything that exists in this reality is a tool for you to use for your own creativity. And thoughts and emotions are two of the tools that we have that we can use to create how it is that we interact with others in the world, how we live our daily lives, etc. And when you begin to think about this concept that you are more than your thoughts or emotions, begin to realize if that's the fact, and that if you accept that you create your own reality on every level, you really need to begin to take responsibility then for everything that happens in your life, whether it be joy, anger, fear, depression, whatever. That's all something that you have brought to yourself or that your higher self is bringing to you for your own growth. And you create your life moment to moment by the way you respond to the influences that are coming into you from the outside or the way you are responding to the world in general. So if you choose to be angry, it's not that somebody makes you angry. It's really that you are choosing to respond to them with anger or with fear or jealousy or whatever it might be. It's not that they are causing you to do that. You are responding. We have choices and options every minute of the day, and the way we respond emotionally is our choice. So, say you choose to respond in anger. There's nothing wrong with that. Anger is a powerful tool. The thing that I would ask you to think about is when you are responding that way, instead of letting it grab you and really get you going and running, you can have the choice to say stop and take a look at what is happening in the situation. What is happening in that moment that's causing you to respond with anger? And I'd also say it's a good idea not to say why. You know, why is this happening? Blah, blah, blah. Because what why does is it propels you either into the future or into the past. You try to figure it out, you'll probably start running some old tapes, old programs, old habits, and really energize that emotion even more. So what's really helpful is to say, what is happening here? Or if you choose to be angry, acknowledge the fact, I'm really angry right now. You don't have to deny it, but acknowledge the fact that that's really what is happening with you at that moment. And that will probably get you in tune with a little quicker what is going on in the moment. Whether somebody's pushing your buttons and you're responding that way, or whether you really need to be angry right now, whatever it might be. So asking what or saying stop, if you can say stop for a moment and stop the emotion, you can open yourself up and let the energies from your higher self flow in and perhaps give you some insight into what is happening if you're in a strong state of fear or anger. Remember that your higher self has a lot of knowledge and wisdom that you don't have conscious awareness of on a moment-to-moment basis, but you can tap into that simply by stopping the flow of emotion, even for a few minutes, a few seconds, and lifting it up and letting the information come into you from your higher self. Now, granted, this is not easy to do. If you aren't used to doing it this way, it's not easy. It takes practice, patience, and being gentle with yourself and giving yourself chances. If the emotion starts happening in your life or your mental aspect gets a hold of you and just starts running thoughts. You know how sometimes when you try to go to sleep at night, the mind will not be still? Even if you meditate, maybe before you go to sleep, you can't get it to quiet down. Well, sometimes just by saying stop, just for a few seconds, and just acknowledging what's happening, my mind really is racing, and then asking that your higher self, those other energies, to flow into you in this moment now and give you some assistance, that can help you a lot. But it isn't something that you can learn overnight. You just have to keep giving yourself chances with that. If it doesn't work, and don't get too frustrated, you know, don't be too anxious for it to work instantly. But try to be patient and loving with yourself. Another good question to ask when you find yourself in a really strong emotional state is, do I want to do this with my reality right now? Because that's talking about choice again. Do I really want to be angry? Am I really choosing to be angry at this moment in time? So think about if that's really what you want to create right now. And if you do, then go for it. Sometimes anger is a wonderful gift because it really allows you to clear out a lot of stuff and to get in touch with a lot of stuff that maybe you've been shoving back or burying, whatever. So just so you can be aware, you can ask, do I really want to do this with my reality at this point in time? And then I might say, too, when you begin to free up your emotional energy, you will feel so much more expanded. You will feel more physically able to do things. When you get in a real emotional or mental state, what you're doing is contracting or condensing your auric field. It becomes very narrow, you might say, or condensed. When you can stop the emotion or even cut it in half, you immediately begin to expand all your levels, all your awareness, all the energy that you can tap into. And you have it to call on more so than if you just let yourself. Just think about what happens to your body when you get in a very strong emotional state. Tension will happen. Your heart will start beating like crazy. You'll get hot or you'll get cold. Your hands will get cold and your feet will get cold. Your breathing will perhaps increase. You know, your respiration really starts going a lot faster. All kinds of things happen. And that is just a way of recognizing that your energy field is really condensing. When your energy field is expanded, your breathing is relaxed and regular. Your heartbeat is not racing. It's kind of normal. Your mind is relaxed. There's more of a peaceful feeling about yourself generally. And you'll have a lot more stamina and physical energy to call on if you need it. So, oh yeah, and another way to think about emotion is, Diane and Jerry used to say this, they're the co-founders of the Mustard Seed Foundation, for those of you who don't know them. You can think of emotion as E-motion, or energy in motion. Energy just going and going and going. That literally is what emotion is, E-motion. It's energy that just takes off. And sometimes your mind in particular can get a hold of you and just run you ragged, like a little puppy that's totally untrained and undisciplined. And you have to say stop, because you, again, are in control all the time. Not your mind, not your emotions. You're much more than that. Okay. This is more of a, to me this concept is more mental than the others. But I think most of us can relate to it pretty easily, because we've all been in states where our emotions are really running us ragged, or our thoughts just won't let our minds be quiet. And then I want to remind you too, I think I already talked about this a little bit, to remember that you are multidimensional. You're more than your mental or emotional states. You're more than that. And anytime that you choose, you can claim that expanded concept of yourself. You know, when you get into a state where you're going, oh, I just can't think straight. Everything's going wrong today. Everything I try, like today I was dropping and breaking everything. Part of that has to do that my husband's father died yesterday. And so there is a lot of emotion happening in our family right now around his transition. And my body was responding by, I'm kind of tense and tight tonight, so I've been dropping things all day. But when you really get into that and you really get down on yourself, that's the time to claim your multidimensional reality, that you're more than that, and that the state you are in is not going to last. It's not the truth about you. It is going to pass. And the thing to do is to kind of tap in and ask, what am I to learn from this? Or is this really what I want to do with my reality? And that will immediately help you to calm down and expand and then you can move through it a little bit easier. The other note I've got here, which I think I already mentioned also, is that it just helps sometimes to get quiet, and then you can tap into your higher levels, because it's got a lot more information than what we have on this conscious everyday level. Oh yes, and I want to mention too, when you condense or contract your energy field, you're usually in a state of fear. Even if you think you're in anger or some other emotion, almost always behind every strong emotion lies fear. Fear of losing something, or fear that if you don't protect something, you know, it's going to be taken away from you. So when you're in that state of fear, that state of contracted energy, you have a fear probably of losing something. Either it could be something that, like, he doesn't really love me, or feeling rejected. That's also a fear of being unaccepted or not loved. Really, the bottom line for most of us is a fear of not being loved for who you are and just accepted unconditionally. And if you start to kind of investigate your emotions as they come up, if you check them out, I can almost guarantee you that behind every strong one is a fear of some kind, which will really reveal something to you about yourself that you probably already know, but maybe you're not real conscious of. So that's another thing you can do. Now, when you begin to realize that you're more than your thoughts and emotions, you begin to flow up into fourth dimensional levels and energies. And on the fourth dimension, there is that oneness, that unity, or that connectedness that we felt last week in that energy circle. So fourth dimensional levels of energy begins to take you into the oneness, the knowing that all is one, there really is no separation. And that's another way of quieting your mind, just reminding it, even when it gets going like crazy, it's okay that I'm going to pass through this. I'm more than what's happening at this moment. I'm more than this emotion or feeling. Okay. Do you guys have any questions about any of those thoughts at this point? I wanted to share with you some favorite quotes that I have about thoughts and emotions. This first quote is from the Buddhist scriptures, and it says, "It is good to tame the mind, which is often difficult to hold in, and flighty, rushing wherever it listeth. A disciplined mind brings happiness." And to me, that's so important. If you can learn to stop the mind, even just for short periods of time, when you're feeling anguish or fear, anger, whatever it might be, such peace can flow in. So a disciplined mind truly does bring happiness. This is an American Indian quote, "Listen, or thy tongue will keep thee deaf." Sometimes we spill so much stuff verbally, and you are creating when you are doing that. We talked about the throat chakra briefly being the seat of manifestation for this third dimension. When you verbalize, you're creating it. So I love that one. "Listen, or thy tongue will keep thee deaf." By that it means deaf to your higher self, your inner guidance, that inner source, that God within that we can tap into. This quote is from the Tibetan doctrines. "Meditation is the clarifier of a beclouded mind." And sometimes all meditation is for me is just sitting quietly, maybe listening to the sound of water or bird song outside, whatever it can be. Meditation can also be a very expanded, deep or high state where you gain a lot of insight and knowledge, tap into wisdom. This is from St. Augustine, another of my favorite people. "Miracles are not contrary to nature. They are only contrary to what we know about nature, the knowing that we can have, you know, in this reality." It's like talking about the healing of your hands or the healing of this young man that I don't even know. But that's happening, and the doctor said it could not happen. It is happening. Because he's got people who are willing to be there on a daily basis and say, "We love you," you know, calling out to that aspect of himself that's still connected with his body, and he is coming back. So I love that quote. "Miracles are not contrary to nature, only contrary to what we know about nature." Okay. The other concept that I want to share with you tonight is that where love is, fear cannot be. What did I do with that? Got my type notes in here. This is a real favorite of mine. for several reasons. I think, to me, when I think about this concept, my heart immediately opens and I just feel expanded. Where love is, fear cannot be. And that means even in the most desperate of situations. An example that I can give you from my own life is several years ago, actually about 12 or 13, we were living in Shell Beach. And I had to drive into San Luis to go shopping. We didn't have much at all in Shell Beach, so I could shop like for a week or 2 weeks for food, you know. So I go into San Luis, and this particular day I had my son with me, and he was like a year, 13 months at the time. And I got all the stuff in the car, and he put him in his car seat and strapped him in. And this man was standing behind me. I felt him before I saw him. So I focused on what I was doing and just surrounded myself with a lot of light and love. And ignored the person. I knew he was going to confront me, and I was alone, and there wasn't anybody around me, so I had a feeling I was probably going to go immediately into a state of fear, so I did what I could before I looked at him. So when you really look at somebody, you really have that contact on an energy level that's real strong. Anyway, so I strapped my son in, I shut his door and locked the door, and then I turned around, and it was a black man wearing kind of like a wool coat, real long. It was really hot. So I knew something was going on here. I didn't know what, but it wasn't the normal state of things. Well, what he asked me for was money, and he had his hands in his pockets. So I told him I'd just been to the store, and I spent all the money I had. I thought maybe I had a dollar in my purse, took my wallet out, and I opened it, and I said, "You're welcome to the dollar, that's all I have." I handed it to him, and I turned around and got in my car on the other side and locked my door. He was still standing there. But what happened was, because I'd surrounded myself with that loving energy, I was able to flow through his energy field, you might say. He came at me very strong, verbally, very focused. And I had a sense that he may have tried to take my purse or something else. I have no idea. I never did see his hands, so I don't know what he had in his pockets. But anyway, it helped me to flow through that experience rather than reacting in a very fearful, crazy way, which may have injured myself or maybe my baby, you know. So for me, that was my first taste of really integrating that concept into my consciousness, that where fear is, love cannot be. Let's see. Go ahead.
That was backwards. You said that.
Oh, I said that backwards. Thank you. Where love is, fear cannot be.
But that, the other is also true.
Yeah.
Yeah, it works either way, I think. That's right. Thank you. Okay. Okay, one of the things that we can say about this concept is that there is nothing in the universe that can harm us. There is much that appears to harm us or to threaten us, but there truly is nothing that can harm the beingness of who we are. Because since we are not just these bodies and these minds, but we really are a spirit in the body, which we'll talk about in another class, there really is nothing that can harm you. What can harm you in this existence are your fears. Only your fears can harm you, or can cause you to fall into a state that's not feeling secure or safe. If you fear things like being robbed or being physically attacked or not having enough money to get through the week or the month or whatever that might be, that fear, the more that you focus on that, the more you energize that. And remember, we talked about thoughts being things. So if you think it, you're setting it into motion. If you verbalize it, you're basically going to manifest it somewhere along the line. So what we teach at the foundation is that really the only thing that can harm you are your fears and your anxieties and your tensions, whatever that might be in your own life. There truly isn't anything in the universe that can harm the real you that exists in these physical bodies. And then we talked already about when you condense your energy field, you're basically going into a state of fear. And there is something that you are trying to protect or something that you fear losing. This concept is one about which you can't say a whole lot. It's more of something that you just work with in your life, and eventually it begins to become an internal part of you. It's not a concept that you can verbalize a whole lot about. Where when you are in a state of love, you feel that oneness, that connectedness with the Creator and with all that is. You feel secure. I might say a way to think about this is to tap back into when you were a child and the joy that you had if you had a fairly happy childhood and the sense that your life was protected. You were being guided. You didn't have to worry about it. Even when tough things happened around you, there was probably somebody that you could turn to that protected or assisted you verbally or encouraged you or guided you. And if you can tap back into that energy, that feeling at that time in your life, that'll help you to mentally conceptualize the idea that where love is, fear cannot be. Rob, go ahead.
I have a nice story for that one.
All right.
A little odd, but when I was a kid, we lived in a house on the side of a hill, and it was 20 minutes outside of downtown LA, and yet it was real isolated, real isolated. And it would come to me, and my bedroom didn't have any curtains on it. And sometimes it would have so many trees and places, barns and different goat pen, different places to hang out. And I thought, well, if I was running away from something and I wasn't going to commit a crime, this would be a perfect place to do it. And I'd start to get scared and I'd say, I'm protected. And I can remember looking at my window as a little kid and just saying, and I was a little kid, and say, I'm protected. And every time my fears would start to come up, I'd just say it. And then years later, we found out that Charles Manson came to our house the same night they killed Sharon Tate. But they came to our house first, and they looked in the windows and either saw pictures we had drawn or pictures of us. And he said, it's not time to kill children yet. And then it's like, to me, the thing is that our consciousness as a group was such that they could not hurt us. You know, because as a group, my whole family has tremendous, just beautiful consciousness.
I'm sure it's true.
But it's like, it didn't matter what they were putting out, what they were looking for, we couldn't accommodate them. And he'd scoped the place out as the perfect place to do what he wanted to do, and it was. But the consciousness wasn't right, and he had to leave. And they went down, got back on the Pasadena Freeway, and went to their house. And I've had other things like that in my life happen. And it's like, if it's not yours, if you're not of that consciousness, it can't affect you, it can't come to you.
And he was sensitive, you're saying that Manson himself was sensitive enough to...
Everyone is, because we make agreements mm-hmm. on different levels. I hitchhiked for, one time I figured it out, probably over 15,000 miles. And if I was thinking of myself as, when I first started, I think nobody would pick me up unless they saw me as, you know, young and as a sexual object. Because that's how I was perceiving myself. And sure enough...
There was a way to unplug that phone easily. There isn't. No. I know it's soccer business.
And if I perceived myself as that, I would get picked up and propositioned. And I'd start to create something I didn't like, and I'd say, that's it. And I would sit down, and I would get really clear. And as soon as I could get in touch with who I was and bring through that a lot of love for me, I would get the most magnificent people who were so creative and so loving and so interesting, had so much to offer me, and learned so much. But I had to know who I was. And how I perceived myself was what I was getting back. And I got really good at, I knew I created my own reality to such a fine degree that, you know, I would just stop in the middle of anywhere and sit down and meditate till I could get clear enough, because I knew I could get killed. I mean, it's like, you know, you're walking a real thin line. And I did it. It was like a discipline. It was a game for me. And I got really clear in myself, because you had to. You didn't have a choice. And it was a real, you know, I'm just odd. To me, it was fun for me, because that's who I was. I wanted to clarify myself, and it was a challenge. And when I was clear, I got magnificent rides. And when I wasn't clear, I got to look at exactly how I saw myself, or whatever I was putting out to the world came back to me so quick that I just had to look at it. It's neat.
Do any of you have any questions at this time, or anything that you'd like to say or share?
Are you ever going to give us a reading list?
I can. A suggested reading list?
Because this concept here reminded me of a book called Love is Letting Go of Fear.
Yes, by Jan Palski. Excellent book. I highly recommend that to you guys. It's wonderful. It's just a little book, but it's wonderful. Thanks. Yeah, I can do that. I'll think about that this week in Zurich. Well, maybe not. Well, we'll see. I'm thinking I'm going to be out of town until probably next Wednesday. So, Okay. Anything else? Any questions? Why don't we take a short break, and then if anybody has any questions, I've got a guided meditation which I'd like to take you through tonight. And I'd also like to teach you a chant for to help release fear. It will strengthen you. It's fun to do as a group, and we've got such a good group of people that I'd really like to do it. So if you guys would like a drink or anything, water or bathroom break, let's do that real quick. I'm going to get myself some water.
Up and down the coast a lot. Mostly the California coast, so I'm just up and down, up and down, up and down. Like to Humboldt, down to LA, back and forth. Mostly in California.
There was a time when it was really fun.
The one closer to the lake.
I was kind of Find a comfortable position, close your eyes, and take a deep breath. You are about to create for yourself the most loving, protected, and safe place possible for you to create at this moment in time. Take another deep breath and breathe in the loving, joyful energy that flows freely to you from your higher self and your Creator. Take another deep breath. And let this loving, peaceful energy flow gently through your entire physical body, relaxing you at every level of your being, physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. Your breathing is becoming more relaxed, and all of the major systems in your body are relaxing. All of your muscles, organs, glands, and tissues are completely relaxing and releasing all tension. It is a wonderful feeling to be deeply relaxed. A very healthy, loving state of being. As your physical body relaxes and is filled with this loving energy, you allow this energy to expand and flow into your emotional aura, your mental aura, and your spiritual aura, until all your levels become relaxed and at peace. Feel the boundaries of your physical body dissolve and float away. You are more than this. Allow your awareness to expand into your emotional aura and encompass it. Move into that expanded awareness
and bring with you the loving, joyful energy of your higher self. If you encounter any emotional resistance, embrace it, love it, and allow the energy to surround and release it. Acknowledge your creation and observe its transformation. I will give you time for this. Now allow the energies of your higher self to expand into your mental aura. Allow the energy to flow into every level of your mental aura. This loving energy surrounds every image and thought that you perceive. Anything that does not vibrate harmoniously with this energy begins to dissolve, and into that space, love flows. Your physical, emotional, and mental levels are now filled with this loving, healing energy. This energy cannot be contained, and it flows effortlessly through your spiritual levels. As you relax into this energy, feel your heart begin to truly open and realize that love is flowing through every part of your being. This energy is unlimited. It fills, surrounds, and supports you, and you know that where love is, fear cannot be. Feel the joy of being one with creation. You are light. You are unlimited. You are free and boundless. You are whole. You are conscious and aware on all your levels of your own uniqueness and validity as a creation of the universe. This is the truth about you. You are one with all that is. At this moment, you know you can recreate this energy at any level of consciousness, including your outer conscious level At any moment in time you choose. Now take a deep breath. Let your consciousness flow back into your body, bringing you gently back to this room. Take another deep breath, and when you are ready, gently open your eyes.